Welcome to Curious Campus, a discussion about science, discovery, and culture brought to you by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm your host, Tom Lujan. Today we have episode one of a three-part series looking at how academic research impacts children. We're focusing today on ways to offer students of color more opportunities in mathematics and how to encourage diversity in all STEM fields. Mathematics and science are core subjects in school. They form the base for many career opportunities in the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. However, many children, especially children of color, may not view themselves as mathematicians or scientists, or these students may not get opportunities in schools that could encourage them to continue pursuing courses in higher-level mathematics or STEM-related fields. Our guests today are looking at ways to offer more opportunities for students in these disciplines. Deanne Hinker is a professor of mathematics education and director of the Center for Mathematics and Science Education Research at UW-Milwaukee's School of Education. And Danielle Robinson is a mathematics coach for Milwaukee Public Schools, and she's also a graduate of UWM's School of Education. So let's get started, and we'll begin with Danielle. Danielle, why don't you first tell us how you got interested in this whole notion of applying social justice and equity to math education?
Thanks so much. So I think when I first started my career at Brown Street Academy, I was a second grade teacher, and social justice was really important to me at that time as an educator, but I never viewed myself as a math educator. And that really kind of changed when a math coach who was associated with Deanne walked into my classroom and told me about an upcoming program through the UWM School of Education to really work on a master's in mathematical leadership. And as I began that program, my thinking shifted from viewing myself as someone who was not passionate about math and equity to really that there was a huge shift there for me, and really taking into account how students of color, in particular Black students, who are the students in my classroom, how there is so much rich ancestry. They have always been mathematicians and scientists, and really bringing that history to light for them so that they can see themselves as mathematicians and scientists.
Wonderful. How about you, Deanne? How did you first get interested in this area?
I have been involved in mathematics education for many, many years. Primarily working here in the Milwaukee area. And ever since I first came to Milwaukee, I have worked really closely with Milwaukee Public Schools. And I think some of that work, I came in passionate about providing opportunities for each and every student. And I think my work with the Milwaukee Public Schools and the teachers in the district and their energy, enthusiasm, commitment to all children and providing opportunities just really emboldened in me more forthright opportunities and looking for opportunities to create for teachers and students.
And so you decided to do a research project that would drill into this. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'll start. Danielle, for her master's work and her master's project, she actually explored this area of children's mathematics identities and children themselves, whether or not they view themselves as mathematicians. So after Danielle graduated and was working in the district, I reached out to her a few years ago, and I said, Danielle, let's do something more with this topic. And we sought some grant funding from the Women's Giving Circle, which is a group of School of Education alumni and donors that provide opportunities to kind of get creative with some of the projects and opportunities. And they really focus in on teachers, educators, and school children in the Milwaukee area. Well, the Women's Giving Circle provided us with some funding. And I know Danielle has a passion for children's literature, especially children that present diverse images of children and their opportunities. So with the Women's Giving Circle funds, we purchased books. And these were books featured mathematicians and scientists of color, as well as women in the field as being mathematicians and scientists. And we used those books with the teachers in Danielle's school at Brown Street Academy. So the teachers created lessons and opportunities for children to really engage with these stories. And also provided lots of opportunities for children to access these books. I'll let Danielle tell you more about it.
Yeah, Danielle, what was it like being face-to-face with these kids as you were talking to them about math perhaps being a path they could explore?
Yeah, it was. And when I first began my master's research, I think a crucial thing is I started to really get interested in this idea of math identity, right? So what I did is I actually Googled mathematicians and hit the image button. And what popped up, right, was primarily white men, right? Or and white men who are no longer with us. And so I realized that this is something that needs to change. Our students need to see themselves, right, as mathematicians. And so the way that we really began to think about this is I asked my kiddos, you know, what does a mathematician look like? And I actually had a fifth grader look at me and he said, you know, Miss Robinson, do I draw a white guy with a mustache? Like, what do I draw? So I knew in that moment, right, that our kids were not seeing these images of themselves. And so to be able to bring in this literature and even, you know, mathematicians who are alive today, to help them see that this is not something that is far away from them. This is something that is very reachable, right? And helping them see how they engage in mathematics every single day and the things that they do, may it be art, may it be things that they do at home, such as sharing their snacks with their siblings, right? And so it was always really cool to help them see themselves. I had a little girl when we were talking about our math role models. We had been learning about the Hidden Figures movie at the time. And so when I walked by her, I saw three women on her paper. And I said, oh, who are you drawing? And she said, that's Mary Jackson, Katherine Johnson, and Dorothy Vaughan. And I knew right in that moment, right, that she was making an association between herself and these phenomenal Black mathematicians who are women, and connecting and seeing herself in that as well.
That was a huge breakthrough, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was huge. And I think, you know, as a teacher, right, you question if you're doing the right thing a lot of the time, right? You are constantly reflecting, especially for myself, right, as a identifying as a white woman, right? I want to make sure that I am creating spaces where my students, every single one of them, feel safe, right? And feels the opportunity to be brave, to take risks in their mathematics, and to bring appropriate images in for them, for they can see people who look like them, you know, in these positions and making the world a better place.
Deanne, did that surprise you at all? The experiences that we just heard Danielle describe?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was not surprised. There's been research done, this draw mathematician task, and over again throughout the country, children tend to draw white older men standing at a board writing symbols, you know. So when Danielle just really engaged her students in this work, it was just so wonderful to see these children, these second, third, fourth, fifth graders, drawing pictures really of themselves by the time we had spent a few months working on this project, where they started to say, wait a minute, I can do math. I could be a mathematician. I could be like some of these individuals they were reading about.
So you created the possibility of them seeing role models in other people, but tell me how you then connected that to the actual process of doing math, of solving math problems. It wasn't just the sociology of mathematics, but you actually had to talk about the science, right?
Absolutely. That was a crucial piece too, because I think a lot of times in mathematics, that's another thing we ask the kids, what does it mean to be good at math? And oftentimes you get the answer, oh, they just know the answer at the top of their head, right? Or they're really fast, or they're the kids who get called on all the time. And so we really wanted to use this literature and use our, you know, our mathematicians of color and our, you know, women mathematicians to really help them see that math is so much more, right? And really kind of change this language from speed and being correct to reasoning and perseverance and valuing mistakes and seeing it as something that you learn from. We read a book called Tick Tock Banneker's Clock about Benjamin Banneker, which talked about his construction of this wooden clock that took him 2 years to create. And so we would have conversations about how this was so important and how he made errors and how he fixed. And that's what mathematics is all about. So it really helped them see really what math can be rather than it being just this process of being fast and being correct.
Was it difficult, Deanne, for the students to actually begin solving problems to get good at math?
Well, I think as Danielle was just sharing, you know, it's really kind of changing this impression we have of mathematics and what it means to be good in mathematics. You know, getting these young children to already had these beliefs that to be good meant you were fast and those answers just popped in your heads and it was like magic, you know, or they also have this belief that either you're good in math or you're not good in math. You know, so it took time to engage in these conversations and these discussions, and it also takes teachers that are willing to create that environment in the classroom where it's safe to talk about mistakes and to actually show children that we value mistakes. And once we realize there's a mistake, we need to learn from it and we need to have conversations about it. So it's not immediate. It takes time. It takes ongoing conversations. It takes that consistent message and valuing that mathematics isn't fast, that mathematics and mathematicians look at problems from all different angles, and there's more than one right way to get the answer, and that it's important that we share our thoughts and our learning. So this really builds over time, and something we want to start with our youngest learners in kindergarten and first grade and follow that throughout their schooling.
If there are listeners out there like me, and I suspect that there are, we're having flashbacks, some of us right now, about all the anxiety that existed in our math education. In fact, getting ready for today's program, I and some of my colleagues were joking about that anxiety driving us into the communication arts instead of into the sciences, because for some of us it was traumatic. If you didn't get the right answer, you were left to think that you somehow were inadequate. How do you deal, or did you have to deal, with any of that anxiety with your students?
Absolutely. I would find that my kiddos would feel nervous to share their thinking if they were engaging in a mathematical task. And helping them really think about these mathematicians and helping them think about how we need to really reframe what mathematics is, what you would notice is kiddos feeling more and more safe to share, because the language that I would use or the language that I would model with my students is how we would value mistakes. We would value when you make an error. We would value having a conversation between one another, right? And to create this kind of this really safe space to get things incorrect, because that's part of learning. We would talk about this idea of disequilibrium, how when you feel that feeling, that means your brain is growing. That means your brain is getting stronger. And so I would notice, right, kiddos who maybe wouldn't share, and I wouldn't push them because I wanted them to feel comfortable, but they would start to kind of come out of their shells and really start to raise their hands or talk with their partner. And that was really wonderful to see them just feel confident in themselves.
Yeah, and building on that too, I know some of the students in the classrooms, the types of things we notice in Danielle's school as well as in other schools, is children start to say, oh, that's okay, that's just a mistake, we can figure it out. Or somebody will be struggling and another one might just say, you know what, your brain is just growing right now. You know, so we can hear young learners even supporting each other in classrooms, and that's just amazing.
This is Curious Campus, a discussion about science, discovery, and culture, brought to you by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm your host, Tom Lujack, and today we're talking about ways to encourage students of color to enjoy and succeed in mathematics and other STEM fields. Our guests are Deanne Hinker, professor of mathematics education at UW-Milwaukee, and Danielle Robinson, a mathematics coach for the Milwaukee Public Schools. Deanne, I'm really interested in knowing where parents fit in this equation. Has any of your research focused on the role that they have and whether or not their students will be excited about or embrace math education?
Well, you mentioned a little bit ago talking about math anxiety. Unfortunately, we know that there's research evidence that shows parents can pass their math anxiety on to their students, either unconsciously or very explicitly. I always say, you know, there's one thing we should never, ever tell a student, and that's that it's okay to be not good in math. you know, like we might hear an adult say, well, I was never any good at math. Well, that's not an excuse. Your children have that capability and that brilliance to be successful in mathematics. So I think parents have to just continue to be kind of that cheerleader for their students or for their children that, you know, you can be successful in mathematics. But to be successful means you're going to have opportunities to discuss mathematics deeply and get at that understanding. So a couple things thinking about parents. One is, you know what, it's not okay to say you're not good in mathematics because you can be good in mathematics. I also often share with parents that they need to be mathematically curious about their children. And what are their children curious about in their world? What are they learning about in school? And they should ask them lots of questions about, oh, what are you learning? What are you observing? What are you thinking? And to kind of model for children their own mathematical curiosity and their willingness to kind of be open and to explore things with them.
So in other words, those of us who are carrying around that anxiety should just put a cork in it and not go back there. We can't change the past, but we certainly can affect the future of our kids.
And I think the other piece too is we did a few, when I was at Brown Street Academy, we did a few bring your family to school day and we kind of focused in on math. And I had so many families come in who, you know, who experienced math anxiety, right? And not a single parent said to me that they didn't want to help their child grow and learn. And so we talked about, you know, easy ways, you know, simply just having your child compare, right, different shapes you see when you're on a walk or counting when you're in the grocery store or simply just playing games, right? Just sitting with your child as they're playing, right? Like Minecraft, which is a huge game that kids play right now. Just building that curiosity and just, and really just taking that time together to kind of explore different ways. You know, Mancala is huge, a really great math game to play, but there's lots of games out there to play with kiddos to kind of help them with their working on their reasoning and their logic.
Danielle, you mentioned you were doing this project at an MPS school, and I believe that you were really in the middle of it when COVID hit. What did that do to your research? Have you been able to ultimately get to the end that you hope to arrive at before COVID disrupted all of our lives, or did it get derailed?
It did get derailed, unfortunately. Kind of, we really had gotten this work going in the spring semester. And then in March, we had our closure. So we had really put in a lot of groundwork. And so the books are still there. I shared a lot of different book lists and resources as much as I could with teachers. And I know, even though I'm a math coach now for the district, I do know that there are some teachers that are carrying on this really vital work there. But the good news is, you know, as a district and as a math department, we are continuing this work and really helping teachers dive into their own mathematical identities and those of their students and really figuring out ways how we can honor each other, right? And to create these spaces where we can really grow and see really the beauty and the wonder that is in math that I always hear Deanne talking about and finding that joy.
Deanne, you're the professor here. Lessons that you took away from this research project?
Several lessons, I think. You know, one is just along with teachers as well as students, we need to have these conversations about all children being capable of being successful in mathematics. Unfortunately, we still have this really awful legacy in mathematics that we think, oh, some children are going to be good in math and some are not. And that's just the way life is. It's like a math gene exists or something, which is not true. You know, so that's one thing. And, you know, teachers are, you know, we're there because we want children to achieve and be successful. But sometimes there's these systemic inequities that exist in our systems that we have to actually acknowledge exist and confront. And one of those, you know, that often is this whole notion of tracking and ability grouping, you know, that we sort children in mathematics more than in any other area into you're capable, you're not as capable. And that is just wrong. That is not something we should be doing. And we are fighting that yet today to stop thinking about mathematics as something only some children should have access and opportunity to achieve at deep levels.
To what degree has the technology that we use in education impacted math education? I'm thinking, you know, way past slide rules. I'm thinking about the fact that kids are walking around with cell phones with a calculator on it. And, you know, they've got computers that are incredibly powerful. Has that been a positive or a negative when it comes to encouraging students to be open and excited about math?
I would say it's a positive. I mean, we have these tools, right? We have calculators. We have them on our watches, on our phones, with us at most times. And, you know, as we think about what does a calculator do, I mean, it computes, right? Those skills that we needed before I was born, even, right, so long ago, that right now in today's age and as we think about the future and the future of our students and our children, they need to be able to take the mathematical knowledge they have and apply it. They need to use it to understand our world, to critique our world, to create the solutions our world so badly needs when it comes to quantitative reasoning. So more than ever, it's really important in mathematics that all students really learn to understand the mathematics and to be able to apply that to solve problems, which means using the tools to do that computation work, because that's not the critical thinking that's going on. That's the skill work, and that can then feed into and support really using it to solve problems.
Danielle, let me ask you, you're a math coach at MPS. How do other teachers respond to your presence? Do they see you as a threat, as someone who's getting in the way of their ability to control a classroom or do their thing?
I hope not. I think there is, and as a young teacher, I was always very nervous when someone walked into my classroom. And I felt very nervous about it. You know, is this person here to judge me? And the way that I approach my position is to really be a support. I am here to support you in any way that I can. Because teaching is just hard, period, right? Like, I mean, we are in charge of these little humans. And I think especially in a time of a global pandemic, it's become even harder. And so really, I try to be a person that is there and open to support them, to talk with them, to be there to help them think through their instructional practices, to help them think through maybe the math content. Because sometimes, right, not all of us had great math experiences. So maybe we need to kind of think through some of the math content. Maybe sometimes just a listening ear. And also just a person to hopefully push in ways to help the teacher feel comfortable and feel supported to try new brave things, to really help their students see themselves as mathematicians. That's my hope. I hope that I come off as a help rather than a hindrance in their classrooms, but I'm sure there are some who see me as one way and some who see me as another.
Well, I see you as the right way, based on your enthusiasm and the energy that you bring to the practice of math. Deanne, we hear a lot about the achievement gap that exists in our schools. How does that factor into the way in which math can be taught effectively to students of color?
Yeah. I mean, and first when I hear the phrase achievement gap, I'm like, well, wait a minute. There's not really an achievement gap. There's an opportunity gap. Okay. So just to elaborate on that a little bit, there's some recent research that shows students of color or students in poverty are often not even given the opportunity to engage with grade level assignments. We make these assumptions a priori about, I think we need to work on these other things first. I'm not sure you're quite ready for that fifth grade work, so we're going to go back and do third and fourth grade. You know, so this research is really astounding that children are not even provided the opportunity to engage with grade level work. So how can we expect them to achieve and meet grade level standards? And that goes right back to our beliefs and the biases that we hold about who is capable and who is incapable.
And how about you, Danielle? Do you see that same experience play out in the classrooms that you're in?
Yes. And I mean, I was guilty of it too as a teacher. I think we naturally, we see where there are mathematical ideas or experiences that our kids have not been offered yet. And so we see struggles, right? And so I think we naturally want to remediate in order to help our students grow. But I was able to listen to a speech from Dr. Latson Billings, Dr. Gloria Latson Billings, from UW-Madison, where she talked about this idea and the harm that that causes. So what she said is she said, so I'm behind. So your response is you're going to slow me down more. And that was kind of a punch in the gut for me, especially as a math interventionist, that really kind of changed how I thought about things, because what I needed to do was I needed to look at grade level work and figure out what are the supports that I provide each and every single one of my kiddos in the classroom to make sure they have that access, right? Because I don't want to slow them down more and have them be further behind. And so I think that's something that we have to continue this conversation about, and something that has been a huge passion of mine this year is to really help, especially after our schooling been interrupted so often. But how do we support our students so that we are not taking away these opportunities that they deserve, right, to build upon those mathematical ideas?
Well, and you do want to build self-esteem, because a person's Absolutely. Sense of success and their ability to grow and get to a goal that they're reaching depends so much on how well they're encouraged or maybe discouraged, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. I mean, there's evidence that says, you know, learning impacts one's identity, but then one's identity impacts one's learning. And that is so true in mathematics. And there's a movement, right, kind of a front in this country right now to really help build children's mathematics identity. In fact, it's one of the recommendations from the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics that a goal of our mathematics instruction needs to be to foster and nurture positive mathematics identities in our students, and to help them establish strong mathematics agency where they can really be authors and owners of their learning and their mathematical knowledge.
So, Danielle, earlier you were talking about how other teachers may view you as a math coach. My question is, what can we do to help educate teachers to be better champions of math day in and day out when you're not in the classroom?
I think number one, right, is that support. I think there's this push and the opportunity that I've had with Deanne and Dr. Melissa Hedges, who's one of her colleagues, is that I had this opportunity to work with my colleagues to grapple through not only the math content, but also these crucial instructional practices that help really open my eyes up to everything that I could do better. And I think that's huge, is we need to provide teachers that time and that space to work together. And time is always, it is not on our side in education, unfortunately. I think that other piece is to really help teachers see just how excited our kiddos get. I had this one of my students who went to his teacher and he said, you know, Ms. Robinson like really doesn't teach us math. We just like play games. And she said, you realize that you're having fun and learning math, right? And he's like, oh man, she really tricked us, right? And so, my goal is not to trick the students, but really to help them see that mathematics can be really fun and it can be difficult. And that's how we learn and grow. And I think a lot of our teachers, right, didn't have those experiences growing up. So maybe if we can provide those experiences for them too, and the students and teachers can go, you know, learn and grow together.
Yeah, I mean, just building on that, I mean, Danielle knows a lot of the work I've done. I've worked with teachers in the Milwaukee area and other places around the country for the last 30 years. And the one thing we always try to do is to create safe places and spaces for teachers to engage in the mathematics. You know, fractions is a great one to start with, right? Because how many people, you know, will comment that they just don't understand fractions? So to really grapple with, well, what does it mean when you're adding these fractions? What does this fraction number mean? How could we represent it in different ways? How does it relate to division? How does it relate to ratios and proportions? But to give teachers that opportunity themselves to think about, wow, what do I understand about these mathematical ideas? What don't I? Let's explore different representations and tools to deepen my own understanding. Because when, as teachers, we have a deeper understanding, it's much easier, shall I say, to get excited about mathematics and to kind of pass that along and build those opportunities for your students.
You know, I'm so impressed with the passion that both of you bring to the teaching and the love of mathematics. So I have to ask this question, and I'll begin with you, Danielle. How did you first fall in love with math? I mean, what was it that made you say, this is pretty cool, as opposed to running screaming from the room saying, I don't want to do it?
So I have to be honest, when I was in school, I never saw myself as a math kid, right? Which we've talked about. It was not until I started my master's program at the UWM and really DN changed my life. And the reason I say that is I think about fractions. I never understood fractions and why we do what we do with the operations of fractions until I took her courses. And I mean, it opened up my world, because for so long, I just, you know, you think about dividing fractions, you invert and multiply, why you do that, why that makes sense, what that visually looks like. I had no idea until I was given that space to work with a partner, work with a group of my fellow teachers, and to be guided and to be held and supported when you questioned yourself and when you wanted to try something new. I mean, that really, I mean, it changed everything for me.
Okay, and Deanne, you're a professor of mathematics. You've been in the classroom at different levels. What was the trigger for you?
You know, I have always liked numbers, but I think really a trigger is I've not only liked numbers and working with numbers, but I always strove to understand the mathematics. So I think I was really fortunate to have some teachers that provided me with a space to ask those questions about, well, why does this work this way? And when might I use this? You know, so I had those opportunities to develop my own understanding from some amazing teachers. On the flip side, I also had opportunities that might have turned me off to mathematics. I had teachers that, you know, emphasized, memorize these facts and memorize this information and, you know, be able just to kind of regurgitate it back. But, you know, I was able to kind of persevere through that because there were enough teachers along my path and my journey that helped me to develop a deeper understanding of mathematics. And that has always kept me hooked and passionate about it. And then with that, you know, that passion then has turned into my work here at UWM in creating those opportunities for teachers. Because when teachers understand the mathematics more, they will appreciate it more and they will pass that on to their students.
I think you've both encouraged me to go back and crack open a math book and give it one more shot, right? You know, we never too late, right? Is that true?
We'll find some tasks for you.
I'm going to say, as soon as you're ready, well, we can start right now, Tom.
Okay, the anxiety is beginning, but I'm just going to push it down, and I'm going to give you a shot, okay?
It's disequilibrium. It helps you, your brain gets stronger, Tom. Don't worry.
Well, in your able hands, I suspect I would do okay on that front. Well, that's our show. A big thank you to our guest, UWM Professor Deanne Hinker and Danielle Robinson, who's a math coach for Milwaukee Public Schools. Curious Campus is produced by Genera Armas and Kathy Quirk. Our engineer is Jason Reavy, and I'm your host, Tom Lujack. If you enjoyed our show, please consider subscribing on your favorite podcast app.